you know, when we think about conflict of interest, I mean, it's easy. It's also hard to figure out. It's one of those things like it is and it's not. You know, one of the things that I think that's important is really looking at how the individual is going to benefit and if you are going to have any benefit. I think it's looking at, you know, for me, I have pooled trust. Each individual has access to their own trust. But if you have a trust that has multiple beneficiaries, how are you treating them? And I think that really looking at what the beneficiary needs before you look at your own stuff, self-dealing, you know, we're really talking about how, you know, you want to talk about all of that stuff. And so, you know, when you think about conflict of interest, it's really making sure that you're aware of everything that is going on in your, you know, purview, and that you're not benefiting yourself from this. It's the duty of impartiality. And that's one of the hardest ones, I think, in my opinion. It's really remembering that just because maybe you don't like the personality of one of them, or if you don't like the things that they're asking for or things like that, that you really have to look at things from an impartial perspective. And you know, I think that I get a lot of questions. I get a lot of things that are requested. I get a lot of things that, sometimes I'm like, I don't know about that, but really recognizing that, you know, when somebody calls and is mean to my staff and says awful things to them, that doesn't negate what it is that is available to them through the trust. And so recognizing those, the conflict of interest, the impartiality, the loyalty, all of those things is really about stepping back from it and taking your own personal things out of it. And I think that that's the important piece that we're really looking at.
Yeah, and I think you need to be really careful when you're advising a family member trustee, especially on these things. I've had a million cases where, hey, I'm going to buy a boat. It's for my son. Trust me. Well, he's in a wheelchair, and I'm not really sure, you know, that you've got the right adaptive equipment, but you're going to buy a boat and put it in your name or commingle funds. I mean, those are huge red flags and conflict of interest. And the one thing I do want to touch on this slide, so bear with me, is I'm going to ask you a question, Haley. Would you guys take on a generation skipping trust tax transfer? I messed up those last three T's. My apologies. Trust to administer?
No.
Would you guys do that? Advice on that? Right. So you don't have the necessary expertise in that area. And that's what this materially limited, it's usually called material limited representation, right? Don't take on one of these things. Don't act as trustee. Don't suggest somebody act as trustee if they can't do it.
And I think that just to sort of finish that up, I think oftentimes families want to do it because they think they know the best. You know, finding the right person to do this is so important. Just because somebody is a trustee doesn't mean they understand special needs trust. Make sure that when you're looking at that and thinking about that materially limited idea, that somebody actually understands benefits and understands special needs trust before you choose them as a trustee of, or even educate them. You need to know those types of things too. So I think it's really important, you know, to think about it from that perspective.
Yeah, that's a great point, Haley. A lot of times, you know, when I have those family members, we want to be involved. We want to know, you know, what's going on. We know what's best for our disabled, you know, aunt, uncle, et cetera, et cetera. They're right. They absolutely will know better than a trustee in most cases. And so I believe you and Steve spoke about this. There's a fantastic opportunity to throw in a trust advisor, a trust protector that has all of the rights but none of the duties of the trustee and can act as an information bridge potentially between the person with a disability and the trustee themselves.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when we talk about confidentiality here, one of the things that we've recognized as practitioners and as the manager for a pooled trust is that that we work with so many other groups, organizations, professionals for our beneficiaries to make sure that we're getting them the best things that are out there available to them, that we're getting them the right supports and services potentially that are available. But we have to be very careful about the information that we're sharing. We need to make sure that our folks understand that we're reaching out to these people and have given us the ability to have those conversations. You know, we work with care managers all of the time. And most of the time we give the real basic information and then make sure that they have even had that confidentiality conversation with the beneficiary as well. And so I think recognizing that you are always going to be working with other groups of people about, you know, about this beneficiary. One thing that I will say about families is oftentimes they don't know how to keep anything confidential. Parents have talked about their loved one's life forever. Oftentimes parents don't get, you know, the permission of their loved one to talk about all of the things that go on in their lives. So if you are talking to, you know, a family member who's serving as trustee, recognizing that their role as trustee trumps their role as parent or trumps their role as aunt, uncle, sibling, whatever. And so they need to recognize all of those things when they're taking that into consideration whether or not to be trustee.